Good morning. It's the Lord's Day, April 5th, 2020. This is the third Sunday that we're having to put our services and the message online, as we're not meeting during this coronavirus pandemic. We do welcome all who are visiting with us online today, our members, our attenders, and those who are listening around the world. The pastor and the elders and deacons are available to pray with you, to speak with you about your spiritual needs, about your physical needs at this time. So please keep in touch. You can call them or email them with your concerns and your needs during the week. We need to all be in prayer for each other during this time, and for our nation and for the world. And so just a reminder that all church services, meetings, and activities have been canceled through April 15th, at which time the leadership will reassess things. We know that it's a good possibility that we won't be meeting for a few weeks after that, but we're taking it 2 weeks at a time for now. I want to encourage each of you to read your Bibles every day, to pray earnestly for yourselves, your families, for the church, and for the nation, and to have a time of regular family worship in your home. Good time to start that or restart it as a practice. Also, there will be a graveside funeral service today at 2 o'clock for Teresa Bain's sister, Sarah Martin, who died on Friday. Service will be at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Anderson, South Carolina. Please be in prayer for this family. Now we begin the service of worship with a call for worship from Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank You that You are always faithful. You alone are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise You for the covenant of grace. Lord, You did not have to be gracious or merciful to anyone, for we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but through our Lord Jesus Christ, You gave Him because You loved the world, so that those who would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh Lord, would You speak to us today? Would You lift our thoughts to heaven? Would You renew our minds with the Word of God? For we ask it in Jesus' name. And now we pray the Lord's Prayer that He taught the disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you would like to pause the sermon audio recording and then click on the link for the YouTube video of the singing of Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's hymn number 32 in our hymnal, but I know you are very familiar with it. And so if you want to listen or sing along with this music, congregational singing of Great is Thy Faithfulness, do so at this time. And now let us read the call to repentance from Proverbs 6, 12 to 15, which says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly, Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. I'm going to lead us in the prayer of confession from Lamentations. Let us pray. Lord God, we have sinned gravely. We have become vile and afflicted. We are in great distress. Our souls are troubled and our hearts overturned, for we have been very rebellious. The joy of our heart has ceased and our dance has turned into mourning. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. But you, O Lord, remain forever, and your throne from generation to generation. Do not forget us, nor forsake us. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The assurance of pardon is Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We can thank the Lord that our sins can be cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his sacrifice on the cross, our sins have been paid for, and through faith in that sacrifice, we are saved. I'm going to bow just for a moment of prayer for our needs and for our nation. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come through another week of listening to news every day, many times a day, as we hear some good reports, but still many things that are discouraging about the current situation with the spread of the coronavirus, especially in our own nation, Lord. Many thousands have gotten sick and died. Lord, we look to you, for you are a great and gracious God. We thank you, Lord, that all things are in your hand. Our time is in your hands. And we ask, God, that you forgive us for our sins, yes. But that you lift our eyes, Lord, so that we're not looking only at our problems and our difficulties, but that we would look to you and we would see, Lord, that you are high and lifted up. You are seated on the throne as Isaiah saw you seated upon your heavenly throne. And at first he was undone, but Lord, he came away encouraged and ready, Lord, to be sent and to speak for you. Lord, may that be the case for us after we hear your word today. Lord, we must weep and mourn over our sins, but we also must seek the comfort and the assurance of your love in the gospel. We thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And so, Lord, we pray that everyone who hears this message today, if they do not already believe the gospel, Lord, today might be the day of their salvation when they turn to Jesus and be saved from their sins. Father, we lift up all the other needs of this congregation and of those who are listening, people who are sick, who are suffering, who are hurting in many ways, Lord, financially. And many are simply discouraged because of all that's going on. And so our prayer goes up to you, and we ask that you have mercy upon those who are in need. And Lord, you know that some are grieving. We pray especially, Lord, for the Bain family and for the Martin family, Lord, as they grieve the loss of Sarah Martin. Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Please protect us. Please deliver us from sickness and especially protect us from the coronavirus. We ask, God, that you bring an end to this virus in our own nation and around the world. We thank you, O God, that you're able to do this. But our prayer, Lord, is further than that, for a great move of God in our nation, a great revival and awakening, so that many will turn to Thee and see, Lord, that the ways of this world, the things of this world, can never, Lord, satisfy the soul, that the things of this world are not what we are to live for, but that there is hope in You, O Lord. And so I pray that as a nation we will turn back to You. Be with our missionaries around the world, and Father, protect them, but also use them. Use us, Lord, where we are, to spread hope, the hope of the gospel. And we pray, God, for our leaders, for our president, for our vice president, the Corona Task Force, and for all the state governors, for our own Governor McMaster. We ask, God, that You bless and keep and direct our steps, give wisdom to those who need it, give all of us the confidence and assurance, Lord, of Your love and Your mercy at this time. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The message this morning is titled, God's Great Faithfulness in Our Afflictions, and it's from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 to 23. And I want to read that scripture now, and then we'll see what the Lord has to say through it. Verse 19 of Lamentations 3 says, "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." Let us pray. May the Holy Spirit speak to us and change us and transform us by the renewal of our minds. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of our members shared a good thought with me this week. This person said, "God sometimes puts us in the dark to show us that Jesus is the light." God puts us in the dark to show us that Jesus is the light. Well, that was certainly true for the people of Jerusalem and Judah in Jeremiah's day. For 40 years, Jeremiah had warned the people to repent of their evil ways and turn to the living God, but they would not. He warned them of the evils that would come upon them if they continued in their rebellious ways, but they did not listen. So finally, God sent the Babylonians against His people. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and burned Solomon's temple to the ground, leaving the city in ruins. People were killed, tortured, and dragged away into captivity. It was a very dark time. The prophet Jeremiah, an eyewitness to these events, wrote the book of Lamentations as a lament for what had occurred in Judah and Jerusalem. The book of Jeremiah that he also wrote is a book of warning, while the book of Lamentations is a book of mourning. The book of Jeremiah looks forward to the defeat and desolation of Jerusalem, while Lamentations looks back after it happened. After such a horrible time of darkness, was there to be any light at the end of the tunnel? We might ask the same question today as we undergo a strange time of lockdowns and quarantines with the spread of an invisible enemy that has made more than 1 million people sick in the world and left thousands dead. Businesses have closed and many will never reopen. As of this moment, over 6 million people have filed for unemployment, which is an all-time record. No one knows when this all will end, and we don't know what life is going to look like in the aftermath. God has put the entire world in the dark. Why? Well, I believe the answer is simple. He's put the world in the dark to show us that Jesus is the light of the world. You know, as Americans, we tend to worship our way of life. We love our freedoms, our prosperity, our entertainment, our recreations, and our seemingly limitless possibilities in the land of opportunity, which we call the United States of America. Suddenly, these things have been taken away from us. We hope that it's temporary, but at this point, we no longer have the freedom to go where we want to go and to do whatever we want to do. Many can't even go to work, and some are being laid off of work. They've lost their jobs. And even with all the spare time we have on our hands, we can't enjoy many of the things we would normally enjoy. And we're all in fear of catching this disease called COVID-19. As we go through this passage in Lamentations chapter 3, it is my prayer that we would come away with great hope and confidence in God, and with eyes to see once again that Jesus is the light of the world. And if we will look to him and walk with him, we'll come out of the darkness. Epistle of 1 John states we are called to walk in the light as he is in the light. Yes, God has caused darkness to fall, but for those who have eyes to see, the light will dawn and Jesus will become more precious to us than ever before. In verse 19, Jeremiah said, "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall." Now, this is in the form of a prayer. It appears that he's calling on God to remember him in his suffering and affliction, and to remember his people. The prophet Jeremiah and the people he represented were in great despair, and yet he lifts his voice to God in prayer. They had long looked down on their troubles and on their woes, but now Jeremiah was leading them to look up to him who was on the throne. And so he asked that God in his great mercy would remember them in their distress and deliver them out of it, for no one but God could do that. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Day after day, year after year, Jeremiah wept for the people of Judah and Jerusalem. For example, in Lamentations 2, verse 11, he said, "My eyes are spent with weeping. My stomach churns. My bile is poured out to the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because infants and babies faint in the streets of the city." And then in Lamentations 3:48, he said, "My eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people." Though Jeremiah was distraught over the affliction and destruction of Jerusalem, his weeping was ultimately over the sins of the people against God. It was because of their sins that these things had come upon them. And he shed tears over the fact that the people of Judah had turned their backs on God and refused to repent of those sins. I wonder if there's any weeping today as we continue under the plague of the coronavirus throughout our land. Yes, there is weeping among those who are sick and who have lost loved ones to this disease. There's weeping among those who are miserable under the effects of the virus. And there's the weeping over financial loss and the loss of our freedoms. But is there any weeping over the fact that as a nation we have turned our back on God and failed to repent of national sins? Is anyone weeping over the sins of the church, a church that has become very worldly in our time and that has compromised the truth of the Word of God? Has anyone been weeping over the slaughter of millions of unborn children in our land? Their blood has been crying out for judgment for 47 years now since Roe versus Wade legalized the murder of the unborn in our nation. Have we mourned over the wickedness of a nation that affirms and celebrates the unnatural perversion of homosexual relationships? Are we weeping over the declining number of professing Christians in our nation each year? Are we shedding any tears over the loss and over the wayward sinners in our land who are on the broad road to destruction and who without Christ will perish for eternity? Are you weeping over your own personal sins, over your secret sins, your habitual backsliding, your lack of love for God, and a lack of courage to stand for His truth in a wicked generation? I know that we all want this epidemic to be over so we can get back to normal. But God has not seen fit to end it yet. The worst may be yet to come. Perhaps He is waiting for us to remember and reflect, as Jeremiah said in verse 20, "My soul still remembers and sinks within me." We must reflect on our afflictions and gain God's perspective on them. And what are we to remember about our afflictions? Matthew Henry wrote, "It is sin that makes the cup of affliction a bitter cup." He then adds, "It becomes us to have humble hearts under humbling providences, and to renew our penitent humiliations for sin upon every remembrance of our afflictions and miseries." Does your soul remember your sin against God? Is it your sins that make your heart sink within you? If so, you are on the road to recovery. You are ready for relief. Jeremiah wept over the sins of Judah and Jerusalem. In this act, he was prefiguring what the Lord Jesus Christ would do when He wept over Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 19, we read, "And when Jesus drew near and saw the city, He wept over it, saying, 'Would that you, even you, had known on this day, the day, the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes.'" In all our affliction, Christ was afflicted. He was a man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief. Jeremiah wept, and he carried the griefs of a sinful people. And Jesus wept. He was a man of sorrows, and he carried those griefs and sins, the sins of his people. He carried them to the cross, and he atoned for them. Isaiah 53:4 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." But because he carried our sins and our sorrows, there's hope. And that's what we turn to next in our passage. In our afflictions and in our sins, there's always hope in the Lord. Yes, we are called to mourn over our sins and to repent. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." The good news is that there is comfort for those who weep over sin. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Our weeping and our sadness is only temporary. With the Lord, there's always hope. In verse 21, Jeremiah said, This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Yes, he remembered the affliction, the wormwood, the gall, but he also remembered God's mercy. He said, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Though God may bring hard times into our lives, and though His hand may at times be heavy, His mercy and His grace are greater and more abundant than all our suffering and than all our sins and grief. Jeremiah had seen the dark clouds of his people's sin and the darkness of exile. But beginning in verse 21, the clouds begin to break up and skies are clearing. He can see that there is hope, that there is a future. And as I look at the current situation in our world, I'm tempted to lose heart. I'm tempted to sink down, as Jeremiah said in verse 20. But when I turn to the Word of God, I find hope. In this world, there will always be things to bring us down. But when we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, we will find His grace to endure. We'll see that Jesus is seated at God's right hand. In other words, that He's on the throne, that He's in control of everything that befalls us. Jeremiah realized that though he and the people of Judah had suffered and were in exile, they were not completely consumed. And God had preserved them. Therefore, he knew that God must have future plans for them. That gave them hope. You and I are still here We have not succumbed to this virus, if we're listening to this. And so we have hope that God has a plan, a purpose for us. But another way to translate verse 22 is found in the English Standard Version. And it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." So we have one translation says that it's we who are not consumed, but then another translation, it is literally the steadfast love of the Lord that is not consumed. In other words, that does not cease. Either way, it gives us hope. That steadfast love of the Lord. In the Hebrew, it's a special word, hesed. It's a very rich word in Scripture. And it describes God's faithful covenant love for an unfaithful people. And it can be translated steadfast love, devotion, loyalty, kindness, mercy, and loving kindness. And it means to be gracious or merciful. The German commentator Franz Delitzsch said that when this word is used of God, it denotes the divine love condescending to his creatures, especially to sinners, in unmerited kindness. Though you and I are often unfaithful to the Lord, he is ever faithful to us in Jesus Christ because of the sworn mercies of God and because of his covenant of grace. Note the plural form. He refers to his mercies, his compassions. And note the infinite supply. They fail not. They will never come to an end. Indeed, they're new every morning, said Jeremiah. The current virus we're dealing with is sometimes called the novel coronavirus because it's a new strain that has not been previously identified in humans. C.H. Spurgeon preached a sermon on our passage, and he titled it, "The Novelties of Divine Mercy." Novel mercies are new mercies. No matter how many novel viruses come about in our world, there are always more novel mercies to offset them. Spurgeon wrote that instead of harping on our miseries, we should reflect upon our mercies. You see, God is a fountain of mercies. A never-ceasing river of blessing flows from his throne of grace to those who know him. Each day we wake up, we make it through another night, and we should wake up with praise on our lips and in our heart because God has promised new mercies for that day. No matter how great our sins, his mercies are greater. No matter how great our trials, his mercies are there to help us. And even in judgment, you see, God is a God of hope. Though Judah had strayed far from God and had been taken away into exile, there was hope that their exile would end and that they'd be brought back to their homeland. No matter how far we may have gone and strayed from the Lord, there's hope that we can return to him and find him a compassionate and forgiving God. So I would ask you a question. Have you wandered from God? Do you wonder if there's any hope for your soul? Will God take you back after what you have done? In Isaiah 44, verse 22, God says, "I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." And then in the New Testament, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." So there is hope for your soul. There is hope. God will take you back. He will receive you if you receive him, if you turn to him. Jeremiah goes on in verse 23 to declare, "Great is your faithfulness." God is faithful, faithful to keep his promises. He promised to bring the Jews back from exile after 70 years, and he kept his promise. And God has promised to deliver us from bondage to sin and give us eternal life if we turn from sin and receive Jesus Christ as Lord. He is faithful and will do what he said. So have you come to Christ? And have you asked him to save you from your sins? The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's faithful to that promise. What's the message God is trying to tell us through the pandemic that we are experiencing? Well, that message is the same as it always is. Turn from your sins, from your spiritual darkness. Flee to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and be saved. And then walk in the light each day thereafter. Well, the pandemic is a reminder to us that something far worse is coming upon mankind. There's a day coming when the Lord Jesus will return from heaven and he will judge the world. That day will make the pandemic seem like nothing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us that when Jesus returns with his holy angels, that he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God's wrath poured out on that final day will cause many to look back on the opportunity they had during the coronavirus pandemic to get right with God and be saved. Those who neglected that opportunity to turn to Christ will be cast into everlasting darkness and eternal torment. They will look back on this time that we have right now, this time of reflection and opportunity to be saved. They will look back with regret that they didn't turn to Christ when they had the chance. Others will look back on this time and be filled with great joy that during the pandemic, they humbled themselves and confessed their sins to the Lord and received Christ as their Lord and Savior. When that great and terrible day of judgment comes, what will you do? Will you look back with regret that you hardened your heart against the Lord? Or will you look back with joy that during that time you came to know Jesus Christ, you were saved from your sins? Or that during that time you turned from your waywardness and got right and got back on the right track with God and began to follow him as you know you should be doing? Well, if you are saved, never forget the great faithfulness of your God. If you know the Lord, then praise him for his faithfulness. In Psalm 89, verse 1, the psalmist said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. God has been faithful to save you from your sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sing his praises. Make his faithfulness known to others. God has not only saved you by his grace, but he's brought you through many dangers, toils, and snares. He is sustaining you through this pandemic, and let's praise him for that. Let's give glory to God for his great mercy and faithfulness. And let's spread the good news of the saving grace of God in the Lord Jesus. Remember, God is faithful to keep you and guard you in trials and temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Remember that God is faithful, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:8, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. His faithfulness is the unqualified reliability and trustworthiness that is his. It makes him worthy of our trust, worthy of our faith. And so new mercies call for new praises. Great faithfulness calls for greater faith. And what a difference it would make in our lives if we lived a life of continual praise and walk by faith and not by sight. Well, faithfulness is one of the communicable attributes of God. That means it's an attribute that he wants to work in us as believers. God is faithful and he's calling us to live lives of faithfulness unto Him. And though we will always fall short, God is calling us to faithfulness in our service to Him. So may the Lord use the current epidemic to make us look to Him and to His faithfulness. And let's pray that God will make us faithful followers of our faithful Savior and Lord. I want to close with Psalm 37 and verse 3, which encourages us to trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness. Amen. Well, if you would like to now listen to the hymn, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy, you can click on the YouTube link. But I'm going to give the benediction now, and then you can listen to that hymn. Receive God's benediction. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.